We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It is Halloween. Who more appropriate than a man who deals with skeletons every day of his life than Dr. George Crickard to be my Halloween guest today?
Yeah.
Orthopedics department is a, what does your shirt say? I can't read the bottom. Is a hip joint. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, like
okay,
that.
So you're not above having fun, even though you're a serious doctor.
Correct.
Okay, and by the way, thank you for wearing your beautiful prince costume today. It's very complimentary to my beautiful princess costume.
Correct.
So we match.
We are the prince and princess.
He called me this morning at 4 o'clock and said, "Mary, are you wearing your
Make
beautiful
sure you
princess,
wear your princess outfit.
Contest? Because I'm going to come as a beautiful prince." I said, "Of course, Dr. Crickard. I would think of nothing else."
Now, Mary, the last time I was here, and you tend to control the conversation, as you well know, that's what you get paid for. But you had toe issues.
Yes, I did have toe issues.
Did that get corrected?
No, my toe still hurts like a son of a gun. Mm-hmm. But you told me it's not gout, so
correct. We could always call the tow truck.
Oh.
Huh?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm here all day.
You know, when you get old, my toe, it's like turning into a corkscrew or something. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
we're anyway.
Just getting older.
I know. I don't like to go to doctors anymore because I used to get things like, oh, this is a serious malady, but this medicine can cure it or this procedure can cure it. Now my doctor just looks at me and goes, you're just getting old.
Yeah.
You know, you're just getting old, so shut up. This is the way it's going to be. It's all downhill from here.
Correct.
Well, let's talk about getting old, but not necessarily because we're born with these bones. In fact, when you're born, you have more bones than you do when you die, usually.
So I'm not quite certain where that comes from, although...
Because there's little bitty bones that meld together into one big bone.
So Mary's telling me about the skeleton now. Good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back in school, Mary. Thank you for...
But am I not correct?
So, yeah, but it would not be correct to call those separate bones. As a matter of fact, I think it's the Children's Museum down in St. Louis has that fact hung up on the wall that you're actually born with X number of bones and you die with like 206. The only thing I can imagine is they're talking about some of the bones, especially like in the head, will kind of grow together, so the sutures grow together. The other thing is, too, obviously kids have growth plates, which if you take an x-ray, it makes it look like there's an extra bone there, but that is just the growth plate. So I've never quite understood where that fact
where
came
the myth
from.
Got started.
The myth, yes, we are myth busters here.
So I'm born with the same amount of bones as I die with, unless you remove one.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
You are correct.
So he's basically told me I'm an idiot, but that's okay because many of my guests do tell me that they just wait till a commercial break.
Right,
so you were born with the same. That was nothing in your education. You can't count this as an education moment because so many people knew I was an idiot that it doesn't count.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome. Bills in the mail.
Yeah. My toe still hurts. But let's talk about the skeleton because, I mean, you know, without our skeleton, we'd just be a blob, just an amoeba-like thing floating around.
So the skeleton has multiple different functions. One is obviously gives us support and holds us up. Otherwise, it'd be one big blob of just organs. So the skeleton helps us get around. It also helps in blood cell production with making red blood cells.
And that's the bone marrow.
That's the bone marrow, yeah. And then it also protects organs like your brain, your lungs, your heart, your pelvis bones protect your vital reproductive organs. So the skeleton is a pretty important thing. So orthopedic surgery, so I'm an orthopedic surgeon, so we are basically trained to treat the bones from the neck down. Most of us do not do spine unless we've done an extra spine fellowship or an extra work in the spine. My area of expertise is actually in hip and knee replacements. Mm-hmm. When I came back to town, I pretty much did everything because you're in a smaller community and you want to treat patients and treat them well, obviously. But I have, over the last 10 years, kind of focused my practice more on doing joint replacements of the hip and knee.
Now, you're able to do that because other doctors have come in who are taking up that other slack, or you just...
So a little of both.
A little both.
You know, one of the hard things...
Are we short on orthopedic
doctors? So, no, not necessarily, but I think, you know, one of the things... Orthopedic outcomes, so when you look at orthopedic surgery and the procedures that we do, the outcomes are based on how many of that procedure you do per year. So your complication rate goes up if you don't do that many cases. So the more you do, the better you get, kind of. So if you look at us taking care of basically the neck down, and it takes 40 to 50 procedures of each procedure to become basically good or decrease your complications. There's not many procedures you can do per year, right? So if I'm doing 400, 500 surgeries per year, I can only be doing maybe 4 or 5 different types of procedures. So when you look at someone that's doing a hand and an elbow and a shoulder and a hip and a knee and an ankle, the data would say, not that they're not good, but the data would say that their complication rate might be a little higher. So about 10 years ago, my partner and I at the time decided that people don't leave town to go see a general orthopedist who will replace your knee or your hip. They go to a hip and knee specialist. So my specialty training was in hip and knee replacements. So I'm now sitting in that lane, and I think it's the right thing to provide the highest quality care to the patients in the area.
Go to the person that does the procedure a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that somebody who is doing it less than you is incompetent.
Absolutely.
Not gonna do
correct.
It well.
Correct.
But it's just like anything else. The more you do something,
the better
more...
off you are.
Don't you get bored, though?
And
I mean, if I had the same guest on the Mary Griffith Show every day,
unless
I would
it was
get bored.
Me, Mary.
Unless it was you.
God, because I'm good.
Then it would be fantastic.
I'm good.
But you're not available because
not
you're
every
so
day
because
I'm so busy doing surgery.
Yeah.
No, the so does it get boring? You know, I think it's every patient is different, right? So you're treating. I'm not just treating a knee. I'm treating a patient. So every time I treat a patient, you think, man, this person's going to be able to get back and do X. I know this one wants to go see your grandkids game. This one has a reunion they want to go to. And so it's even though it's the same, quote, job, it's on a different person. And so you have to kind of personalize your care. And so that's what makes it fun and interesting every day. And I think, you know, as far as how do we think about doing the same thing over and over again? You know, I always say, like, the NASCAR driver doesn't show up at the racetrack and look up in the crowd and say, hey, you sitting there with the beer shirt on, you come down, you can be my right rear tire guy. And the girl sitting there with the cowboy hat on, come down. I mean, the team does the same thing every single week. You're the right tire
turn
guy.
Left, hillbilly,
yep.
Turn left.
Yep.
Just keep doing
and,
it right.
Right. And so so it's the same way in surgery. You want to have the team that does the same thing over and over and over again. And that way it becomes second nature. And I think what really makes a good surgeon a great surgeon is how we work our way out of a jam. So anyone can follow instructions, right? Do this, do A, do B, do C, do D. But if something throws a monkey wrench in there, someone's anatomy isn't just quite right, or something breaks and you don't plan on it breaking, it's how do you work your way out of that jam? And so I think for a town of 45,000, the medical care you can get here in town, top to bottom, is phenomenal.
Thank you for thinking we have 45,000. It's closer to about 38,000. But
is it really?
Oh, yeah. We don't have 45. We
wow.
haven't had 45,000 people in Quincy for 20 years.
Come on, Mary.
I don't know if we've ever had 40. Well, maybe when I was a little kid. But anyway, you're right. I mean, the more you do something, the better. And you know, expertise. But I love what you said. Yes, it's a knee. Not every knee is the same. But I loved what you said. It's not a knee I'm operating on. It's a patient. And patients are individual. Some are scared. Some are confident. People come in with all different sets of expectations. A friend of mine just had a knee replacement. And he's walking on a cane. He seems to be pretty happy with the outcome. He'll be more happy with the outcome once he can drive again and put the cane away.
Absolutely.
You're always hoping that there'll be a great outcome. I just had a test for osteoporosis. I just had a bone density test, my second one in my life. My bones are exceptionally strong.
Gosh, wow, good for you.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that probably we need to talk about today on this skeleton theme program. Not just women, men too, but women especially. We need to get our bone density checked, because if we've got bone density problems, we are more susceptible to hip fractures especially. In fact, do you do more ladies than men? Are more women likely to break their hip than men?
So typically, yes, especially at a younger age. So osteoporosis versus osteoarthritis. So osteo means bone. Porosis means pores or porous. So it's weak. Osteoporosis means weak bone. Osteoarthritis is wearing down of the joint. So osteoporosis, weak bone. Typically occurs at a younger age in women because of menopause and losing the estrogen. The big thing that you have to remember with bone quality and bone strength is you gain bone mass up to the age of about 30. And then after that, you either maintain it or you lose it. So I always say the body retires at the age of 30 as far as building up their bone mass. So if you're a worker, you're working till 30, and then whatever you've raised for money up to that point is what you live on the rest of your life. So women, when they hit menopause, men, when they hit about 70, we catch up very quickly. And then wrist fractures, spine fractures, and hip fractures are very common because of weak bone. Talk to your primary care doctor about it.
Get it worked up.
Yeah. Get your bone density stuff done.
Get a bone density test. Mine are very strong. I've had two, and they both have had great results. I had one a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago. I guess 10, 12 years ago, and now one as I'm very advanced in my age. But that's so different than osteoarthritis, and that's the other thing that you probably deal with a little bit more, which is obviously if somebody breaks their hip, then you come in afterwards if they need something, but you more likely will see a patient who doesn't have a broken hip, they've got a painful hip.
Painful hip, yeah. So thankfully, I don't take as much trauma call anymore as I used to. We have a trauma team that does that at the hospital. So when we can, for hip fracture, do a hip replacement. In other words, give them a new hip. The hip is so bad, we have to replace the hip. So the problem with that person, right, is they woke up that morning fine, then they fall, break their hip, and I go in and do a hip replacement. And they're like, man, my hip is not right. No, it's not right. It's metal and plastic. It's not what God or nature intended you to have in there. Versus the arthritic patient that's living with it for years and finally says, I can't stand this anymore. I am not who I want to be. I can't do the stuff I want to do. Let me get my hip replaced. And so their mentality after surgery is totally different than someone that comes in with a fracture who says, man, I was normal 2 days ago. Now I'm boogered. Whereas the arthritic patient says, man, I was boogered a number of days ago. Now I feel a lot better. But yeah, joint replacement, my area of expertise is really in hip and knee replacements. It's the two most common procedures done across the country as far as joint replacement goes. And we do a very nice job here.
It's interesting you said that because you're right. Okay, you give somebody a new hip, but they haven't been suffering for 4 years and degrading every day until it finally gets to the point where they're willing to do something.
Right.
As opposed to somebody who is just fine and dandy and is in a car accident or
Correct.
Something, and it's so shattered, there's nothing that can be done. You have to go in and put in artificial parts.
Yeah.
That person's satisfaction, even though you put the,
Absolutely.
The same thing, their satisfaction level
is not as good.
Is that one of the hardest parts of being a doctor, is that some patients, in your mind, the satisfaction level, the success level, even though you're treating individuals, but Sally should be as happy as John, should be as happy as Bobby, should be as happy as Susie, but they're not. Is that one of the frustrations? Because, you're never going to be able to get them back to God's perfection, I guess, or 23. It's like, yeah, you're 73 and you have a new hip.
Right.
But I can't do what I did when I was 23. Well, you're not going to be able to.
So, and that's the one thing that I've learned kind of during my career is that you have to really temper people's expectations. And what I always say, I mean, people recover differently, right? So I always tell my patients, do not compare yourself to your friend, your neighbor. If you've had your other knee done, this knee will be different. More pain, less pain. More medicine, less medicine. More therapy, less therapy. The chance that it's identical is not going to be. The second thing that I always tell people is nobody wants surgery. What you want is the outcome of surgery. And my analogy there is if you can talk to a lady that's pushing a kid out and you get in front of her face and go, how many of these do you want? She's going to hit you. But after she sees, hopefully, how kind of cool and cute the kid is, she's willing to go through that again, right? So it's the same way.
Very few, if
True.
Men had to deliver, we'd be all gone by now.
Correct.
Because we would have gone extinct
Correct.
A long time ago, because we Correct. Would only be replacing one man every time, right? Yeah.
So then the other thing that I always say is that what we replace in your body is bone and cartilage, and replace it with metal and plastic, and that's not what God or nature intended you to have in your body. And so some people understand that they are not 20 years old anymore and they're living with an artificial part. And some people come in going, man, I am not 100%. You'll never be 100%. Hopefully you get, you know, what we do surgery for is for you to get your life back.
Yeah.
Do the stuff that you can do or used to be able to do without pain, and then you should be good. So it's kind of setting expectations and having people understand what is our goal and why are we doing surgery. And it's never me telling the patient, you have to have your joint replaced. It's me saying, you have a bad joint. What do you want to do with it? And if you're not having any pain or if you're not having any limitations and you say, I have a little pain every once in a while, but I can do everything I want to do, don't have surgery. But if it gets to the point where you can't do the stuff that makes you you, whether it's walking, shopping, gardening, hunting, fishing, golfing, working, playing with the grandkids, whatever it is, and nothing works, pills. So we treat arthritis with pills, anti-inflammatories to help the pain, shots to help with the pain, and then finally joint replacement. Stuff you can do to help yourself is physical therapy and exercise. The stronger your muscles are, the better the joints are. Losing weight, easier said than done, especially as I get older and I eat about 12 donuts a day. Probably doesn't help. And then using a cane crutch or a walker. So if it hurts to walk on your legs, walk on your arms. Use a cane crutch or a walker. If that stuff doesn't work and you're not happy with who you are, then it's time to have a joint replacement done.
Before we take a break, though, I want to talk about people who still can't have that done because their heart is too weak. They're so grossly obese that, yes, they could lose weight, but it would take a long time. Or there's something wrong with them. They have a cancer or something else. Not everyone who wants a joint replacement of the hip or knee or any joint replacement for that matter, but you certainly, I'm sure, have told some people, you're just not going to maybe survive this surgery. And, yes, it's bad that you're hip and knee don't work, but I don't want to lose you on the table. How often does that happen? Not that you lose somebody,
right,
but that you tell them, you know, I've got some real misgivings about putting you under generalist anesthesia and cutting you open with the other things that are wrong
with you. Right. So I think, you know, and that's, we rely on our primary care doctors, our pulmonary lung doctors, our cardiac heart doctors to kind of give us a risk profile, right? Like, how sick is this person medically? And will they survive an elective procedure? Because it's elective. Now, if you are in a car wreck and you break your leg and there's bone sticking out and we've got to operate on you, then you take the chance that you're going to make it through surgery or not. Very rarely do we see someone that is so sick that they can't have surgery. In that case, we go back to shots, we go back to braces, we go back to whatever we can do. But there are people that we operate on that are higher risk. There are some physicians that are not surgeons that are not willing to take that risk, and some are. I am willing to take care of a higher risk patient as long as they understand that they are at higher risk. And I think hopefully my reputation is good enough that people understand that I treat local people. I'm from Quincy. I want to treat people from the tri-state area. We have a high risk patient population. Adams County is either the top or the second most obese county in the state. We have a lot of smokers, a lot of diabetics. All those triple the risk of infection and wound complications after surgery. My thought is, as long as the patient understands that and they're really boogered from their arthritis, your choice is either you live miserably or we take a higher risk to go into it. And the higher risk means 6 to 8% complication rate. It's not like 98. If it was 98% chance that you ain't going to make it through surgery, I'm not doing surgery on you. But if you're willing to take a higher risk as opposed to 1% to 3%, you're up in the 6% to 8% risk of wound complications, blood clots, whatever it may be, then that might be okay for you.
Well, a lot of people would say, well, I'm not going to quit smoking. I'm probably not going to lose weight. Those are things I brought on myself, and so I'm willing to take the risk because my life is so miserable the way I am that at a certain age, it's like I'd rather just check out now.
Correct.
Rather than endure.
It becomes a quality of life issue.
You are definitely a quality of life doctor. Because
right,
everything you do basically comes down to
quality.
You're not mandating anybody have their hip replaced or their knee replaced.
Right.
You're saying this could
right,
and should improve your life. And it's up to you to decide if that's worth the risk and then the rehabilitation.
Correct.
My guest today is Dr. George Cricard, dressed as a handsome prince for Halloween. And he wants you to know that orthopedics department is a hip joint. Little Halloween.
Isn't that good?
Today. That's very good.
Right.
We're going to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there with the farm markets. But first, listen to this advertisement. Maybe you'd like to join our staff right here at Star Radio.
It is 9:43. So glad to have Dr. George Crocard here. He was on a couple of months ago, and he wanted to come back. And Halloween seemed the perfect day for a guy who deals with skeletons all the time.
Absolutely.
To come back.
Well, I had to come back because the last time we were here, we just talked about your toe the whole time.
I know. Well,
and so,
and once again,
I have other things that I want to talk
about.
I
only have people on if they're going to actually provide me with free medical
free service.
Care. But what other things may I not be suffering from that you'd like to talk about today?
So, a couple things. Number one is that my wife saw me walk out the door today, and she knows that I'm not dressed as a handsome prince. As a matter of fact, the poor thing got glasses 6 months after we got married, and I was scared to death. I'm like, this is it. She's going to put those on, see what she married. And be out the door. So
but
thankfully,
she kept to her vows. We're very proud of you, Maureen. That was a wonderful thing for you.
For hanging in there. So, you know, when you talk about hip and knee replacement, we're doing some neat things here in town. For our knee patients, we have something called the Smart Knee or the IQ Knee. And what that is the company that I work with, and joint replacement companies, so the joints that we put in, similar to car companies. There's numerous different ones across the world or across the country you can use. And the company that I use has a product that is called the Smart Knee. Actually, it's part of the extension of the tibial or shin bone component. So when we replace the thigh bone, the femur, and we replace the tibia, the shin bone, ends of the bone when we replace them for a joint replacement, we can put a little extension on the tibial component that actually is a antenna and a gyroscope, and it records information about your knee and how you're using your knee. That information then at night is uploaded through the web, and we can have access to how well your knee's doing. It doesn't track who you you're talking to or where you are or who you're buying your drugs from. It just gives us information about your knee. It's not a tracker.
And does it say things like you're walking pigeon-toed or you're putting too much, you're favoring it still? Does it give you
It gives you how many steps you're taking. It says what your range of motion is, how long your stride or how what your gait pattern is. And what we've seen is we had one gal that was doing well for about 3 weeks, and then we saw her fall off. We found out that she was admitted to the hospital for an unrelated issue. They had kind of forgotten to take care of her knee, so she was there getting her kidney infection treated, and so we were able to call and say, hey, let's not forget about your knee. Let's do physical therapy and keep your knee moving.
Right.
And then the other person that benefits from that technology is the person that comes in, and there's a fair number of them that come in and think they're not doing well. And we can show them their recovery curves and say, no, you're doing fine. Or, yeah, you are slower than we'd like you to be. Let's push you a little bit. The other neat thing that we started doing just last week is something called for hip replacement. The question is, how can we use technology to help us in medicine? And is there a benefit of using technology? Because technology can be expensive. And one of the companies that I work with in the hip is called Hip Insight. What it is we use mixed reality. What is mixed reality? Well, virtual reality means you put a set of goggles on, it basically transports you somewhere. So you feel like you're on the moon, you look like you're on the moon, and you're interacting like you're on the moon. Mixed reality means that I wear the same goggles, the same virtual reality goggles, but I'm seeing basically a hologram of your pelvis based on a CT scan we get before surgery. So in surgery, I have a hologram of your pelvis. Based on measurements that we take off the CT scan, we can see kind of exactly where the component needs to go. As we're putting the component in the real body, if my hand is lined up with the holographic image of the component, then I know I'm putting it in the right spot. So just, it's technology is really amazing.
So you already were good, but this is making it so that even George Crocard can't make much of a mistake, because if you are off by a little bit, this machine
you can
will
see
tell
it.
You, hey, you're off.
So I think one of the things is that technology doesn't make a good surgeon a great surgeon. It's just another tool we have in our toolbox. If it's garbage in, garbage out. So if I don't set up that CT scan correctly, or if I don't read the data correctly, that machine or that technology is not going to help. So it's just another tool that we have in our toolbox. I want to make sure that people understand that it's not. I mean, I would love for someday for some robot to literally be doing the case, and I'm out on the golf course, and I'm home with the family, and the robot can do my work.
As long as the robot will still let you bill. Who cares, right?
Right.
But we're not quite there yet. And frankly, I'm not ready for a robot. I still want you there. I want you there because that robot can say something and you can say, you know what?
I see a blood vessel here or I see something there and I have enough experience to know I'm going to
again,
go
it's working your way out of a jam. And even when we talk about robots doing it, it's not like R2-D2's in there doing it with us. It's machinery that's helping us, again, get through the case. And so a lot of neat things going on here in Quincy. Again, it always amazes me for a town of 38,000 that we provide such good quality care. But
we're a metro area of about 250,000, and those people depend on our local hospital system to do that.
That's so true.
You do serve a larger volume of people because rural people have to come to Quincy for
absolutely
for help.
Yeah, and you know we're seen as kind of the big city for a lot of people, and we're perfectly positioned in some aspects that, you know, the next bigger medical centers are all about 120 miles away. So you have Iowa City, you have Columbia, you have St. Louis, and you have Springfield, Illinois. And so we have, and our patients are great, man. Like they really appreciate, vast majority appreciate the care we give. We have a great relationship with our patients, and it's truly an honor to take care of patients, right? Because patients come in and you're at your most vulnerable. Sometimes when you're in surgery, you're not wearing clothes, you're under an anesthetic. And really, if you step back from what we do and say, wow, we really are lucky to be able to do what we do. Especially me in my hometown, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's great. We're so glad you're here and practicing. You mentioned, you know, you use certain products, just like somebody might prefer a Ford or a Chevy. And that's one of the things that people have to evaluate when they go and decide who's going to do their hip or knee replacement. But again, just because, like I drive a Toyota Corolla, but just because I like it doesn't mean somebody else, my husband, would never drive that. He drives a Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Right.
So, I mean, should we be thinking what you put in us, or should we be thinking, I want Dr. Kirkard to do the surgery? Because, I mean, I don't need this, but I'm just thinking,
right.
I'd rather go with a guy I know.
I know what your I know where your question is. I think, you know, there's a couple things, and I'm not a car guy. I don't know much about it. I when they switched from a key in the ignition to the push button, that kind of threw me a little bit. So take this analogy for what it's worth. To my eye, Ford and Chevy are pretty darn equal. They both have similar models. They both drive the same. And so your surgeon has picked a company that he or she is the most comfortable with. And all the companies, all the top 5 or 10 companies are pretty much the same as far as outcomes go. So again, Ford and Chevy, to my eye, very similar. So all these companies are very similar. What you want is a surgeon who's good. And again, what I tell my patients, I could go out in that parking lot and drive any car out there, right? But I'm the most safe in mine because I know what the stopping, I know how long it takes to stop. I know what the turning radius is. I know what most of the buttons on the console mean. And so I think you run into trouble if you go in and say, hey, George, I want you to go out there and drive my Toyota Corolla, because I don't necessarily know, like, is it a push button? Do I have to have my foot on the brake? How long does it take to brake this car? How fast does it go? So if I'm going around and going to pass someone on the highway, how fast, what's the pickup like? So again, I think more so than worried about what components are going in you, you should be more concerned about is the physician who's doing your work qualified to do it, and are they good at what they do? And again, it's based on really how many procedures you do per year, and you can ask those. How many of these do you do per year?
So before you go to Columbia or St. Louis or Springfield or Iowa City or whatever, say, hey, I'm afraid of small town doctoring. Find out if the equivalent of Dr. George Kirkard in Columbia has done more or less of these procedures, because like you said, there is this natural, for some people, there's a natural, oh, I don't trust anybody in Quincy.
Local, yeah.
You know?
So you know, it's funny when people say that because I'm almost 100% certain that the people sitting out at Napides don't think that they're making an inferior quality truck bed because they're here in Quincy, Illinois, right? So a vast majority of us as physicians have chosen to practice in Quincy because we want to be here. Not that we were kicked out of the big cities or not that we're so poor you have to go hide in a small town. As a matter of fact, I think there's more stress and more pressure in a small community because, again, my patient, I can't hide my work. When you're a town of 38,000, and you've taught me that. See, I picked up on the 38,000. When you're in a town of 38,000, we do have a capture area much larger than that. But I can't hide my poor results. So if all doctors will. We'll have patients that don't turn out as well as we'd like. If you have a plumber that ever says he's never pulled out of a parking lot while the pipe is burst that he just fixed, he's lying to you. He hasn't been practiced long enough. Like, we all have things that just don't go as well as we'd like. I think I could be in a big community. I could be in a large city. We all could. That's the nice thing about medicine. You can practice in a small community. You can practice in a big community. I have learned over the years to never force people to come see me. If you want to come see me, great. If you want to have me treat you, and I would put my work up against anyone in the country. Not that I'm better than anyone, but doing a joint replacement, doing surgery, it either works or it doesn't. And there's no kind of in between. It's not like, well, it sort of worked. Either the knee joint works well or it doesn't. And so you can receive just as high quality, if not higher quality of care by staying local. The other thing that
you've got all the latest stuff, apparently, with all this technology.
Even though I'm the first one in Illinois to do this hip procedure.
So if I said, no, I don't trust local physician, I want my procedure done in Chicago, I couldn't get that because you're the only one in Illinois right now that does it.
Correct.
A doctor in Chicago that graduated from Harvard.
Right.
Couldn't give me the care that you can give me.
And it's just a different tool. I don't want to toot my own horn. It's just different tools we have. This is a tool that I think is amazing. There's only
like the Napide trucks going by to get truck beds on, just as you
right,
say that.
Right. High quality Napide trucks, bank made right here in Quincy, Illinois. Again, I think you can get high quality care in the city. There are certain things that we do that aren't found in other communities. There's only 70 of us across the country that do this hip insight, this mixed reality technique. I think it's amazing. Again, it's another tool in my toolbox. It doesn't make me necessarily better, but it allows me to check my work. It allows me to make sure that I'm doing the right thing for the right patient. And it's unbelievably neat technology.
Cool.
And I truly feel that artificial intelligence and virtual reality is the future of medicine.
Just 2 minutes left, so what else would you like to tell people, Dr. George?
Gosh, Mary, you're actually letting me speak today as opposed to...
I know, last time.
Do you have laryngitis, or what's your problem? Okay, just making sure.
Unless you want to examine my breast, I have a little problem.
That's way out of my area of expertise. Way out of my area of expertise.
I wish I hadn't said that. Right. But that's where I'm having.
I don't even know if that's legal. Is that legal to talk about?
That's
a different. So yeah, gee, Mary, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, jeezy, Pete. All right. So now you've completely thrown me off my game. Quincy Medical Group. We have a orthopedic walk-in clinic. If you have orthopedic urgencies. We urge you to come in. If you have a chronic problem, it's better to make an appointment because then if you have an appointment at 10, we typically see you around 10 o'clock. If you walk in and there's 10 other people that have walked in before you, you might have to wait. So our walk-in clinic is available basically 7 in the morning till 5 at night, Monday through Fridays. And we like to treat people and we like to get people back out either in the sporting venues or at work or back doing the stuff they want to do. So if you have any issues, it's the Ortho Now program at Quincy Medical Group. If you have any issues or problems orthopedically, there's great orthopedists here in town. And stay local, ask about your local, ask questions. I don't mind if people come in and ask. And if they don't like me or don't like my personality and they go out of town, I'd be more than happy to see them back and save them a drive if they want their wound looked at or any problems. We're all human, right? And there's numerous places I can buy a Ford truck. Just because I pick one place to buy my Ford truck doesn't mean I don't like the others. It just might mean that that's where I ended up that day and I bought a truck there.
Okay.
So.
Well, he looked at my toe, but he's refused medical service for me for this other. So I will go. I have an appointment at Quincy Medical Group tomorrow. I'll let them take care of it.
Thank you for doing
that. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Okay. But I have such strong bones, I hope I never need to see you for any kind of hip replacement. But it could happen, so I'm going to keep on his good side. Thank you. You did wear your handsome prince. I don't care what you say. You did wear it, and I appreciate you coming today, Dr. George.
Thank you for having me.